It's Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night on a Friday here on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and the 101.3 ESPN app. We are live as we have been live all day here at Little Fenway, the Travis Roy Foundation Wiffle Ball Tournament. They call it the best weekend of the year. I can see why. Get down here. Come hang out. Look, there's 34 teams playing. There's no more spots to play. But you can come hang out, watch Arnie and I play. You can come donate to the cause. We're trying to raise money for the Travis Roy Foundation, helping spinal cord injuries, helping awareness, helping get research. We're trying to help make a very difficult situation better. The Travis Roy Foundation, in its 16th year of hosting this tournament here at Little Fenway, the place is awesome. If you just look, if you're like me, you're new to the area, and you just want to see cool, unique things that you can only see here, this is one of the things to go to. And Jason, I'm disappointed for you that you have to be in the studio today, because I think this is something, as a sports fan and someone new to the area like you are, I think this is something that you would be absolutely enthralled by.
Yeah, and based on the pictures that I've seen, I'm jealous. I mean, you guys are hanging out with everybody there. You know who's here with me? Nobody.
Nobody. Well, even intern Sam, who usually is back with you, he's playing in this, so he's here as well. Look, if you haven't been to Little Fenway, and if you can't for any reason get down here, we did put a Facebook Live up in which I gave you a tour of Little Fenway, of Little Wrigley, of Little Field of Dreams. You can check that out on our Facebook page at 101.3 ESPN. The Lake Monsters, as Jason said, opening up a series today. They are playing the State College Spikes. And Jason, I gave you a hard time because you called them in the 5 o'clock sports center. You said College Town. You purposely avoided saying that in the 6 o'clock. Were you afraid I was going to make fun of you again?
I was afraid I was just going to mess it up again.
I have to say this. I get on Jason, but it's hard. Remember this, people. I'm sure someone was listening in their car saying, "Yeah, College Town, who is that? That doesn't even exist," because that's what I was saying. But remember this. Jason's new to the area. I'm new to the area. Sometimes
it exists. It exists.
Sometimes we're going to mess up. Sometimes we're going to make mistakes. It's live radio, people. So we can all lay off. That's my apology to you, Jason.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But it is a real place. It exists in Ithaca, New York.
Well, we're not in Kansas anymore,
but
Jason.
You said it didn't exist. Come on, I don't just make up places.
It doesn't exist in the New York Penn League. How's that?
It's good enough.
So the Lake Monsters are opening up a critical series with the State College Spikes, which is on the campus of State College, in State College, Pennsylvania, on the campus of Penn State. We'll get you the Red Sox lineup, Sox and Yankees, in about 15 minutes. Eduardo Rodriguez, Jaime Garcia, in a big game, big series starting at Yankee Stadium. Yankees are 6-3 against the Sox this year. Yankees 4.5 behind Boston in the AL East race. Patriots lose yesterday 31-24 in the opener of the preseason. Ultimately, the result of the game is not important. What's important to look at is the process of the game. Jimmy Garoppolo played well, 22 of 28, 235 yards, 2 touchdowns. Offensively, Deion Lewis got a lot of touches, played well. I don't read too much into what people saying, is he playing this much because they need to get a look at him because he's on the roster bubble. I think he just needs to get reps, hasn't played a lot because he's been injured a lot in his career. Missed all of 2013-14, missed some of 2015, missed some of 2016. This is a guy that the Patriots haven't had access to a lot, and he just needed reps out there. Austin Carr and Jacob Hollister, wide receiver and a tight end, played very well. I don't know that there's room for both of them on this roster. It sounds like Hollister has a good chance to make the roster, but Carr, he may not with the depth the Patriots have at wide receiver. The thing that really is the focal point of today for me is Jimmy Garoppolo, because Garoppolo has been awful at camp. He's been horrible, and a lot of people have read a lot into it, and a lot of people have not read a lot into it. People are saying on one side of the argument, well, this proves to me, people, this proves why the team should have gotten rid of him, why you got to sell high on this guy who's only played 6 quarters. That's what one side is saying. The other side is saying, man, he's the baby goat. He's the goat in training. He's the goat in waiting. He's the guy who needs to stick around. People have been so divided on this. I've been less interested in Jimmy Garoppolo's actual play than I have in his actual attitude. The attitude for a backup especially is what really matters to me. Jimmy Garoppolo talked after the game about what it was like to be on the field yesterday. And someone asked him, the reporter asked him, said, Jimmy, did you feel any added pressure? Did you feel any added motivation going into this game? And he answered it this way. Jason, give me Jimmy Garoppolo number two.
No, not really. I go out the same way every day since I've got here, since I started playing football. I mean, I love doing this. I love getting out there with the guys. You know, wish we would have pulled out the W tonight, but you know, I think there was a lot of good things, some things to improve on, and we'll work on those going forward.
Jason, it was last Friday that I got on Jimmy Garoppolo because I didn't like that he played poorly in the inter-squad scrimmage, and then he kind of laughed it off. And you conversely got upset with me that was my take on it. Jimmy Garoppolo yesterday, he said the right thing, right? He said, no, I treat it like the same. I treat it as if it's any other game. I don't have any added pressure. I don't have any added motivation. I'll say this. That is the right answer. That is the right answer. Hey, guys, we're going to get the national anthem here at the Travis Roy Foundation, so I'm going to put the mic up here. I'm going to be respectful. I'll have the national anthem. We'll be more Garoppolo here in one sec. All right, that was the national anthem at Little Fenway. The Travis Roy Foundation Wiffle Ball Tournament officially has kicked off. Games were played as early as 4 o'clock. We're out here now. Our game is at 7 o'clock. So, Jason, I want to get back to kind of reset. We're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo, his reaction to the game last night. Why don't you give me the cut one more time?
No, not really. I go out the same way every day since I've got here, since I started playing football. I mean, I love doing this. I love getting out there with the guys. You know, wish we would have pulled out the W tonight, but you know, I think there was a lot of good things, some things to improve on, and we'll work on those going forward.
Okay, so again, Jimmy Garoppolo said the right thing. That is the right answer. There's no more importance on this game versus the other game. Cliche, to the point, quarterback, leader-driven answer. I'm with you. I understand. That is the right answer, and it's the answer that I would have given. But that said, I hope that that's not really how Jimmy Garoppolo feels. I hope in there that he's saying, look, I've had a bad camp. I need to come out and prove everyone like me, the doubters like me, I need to prove everybody wrong. And not even that, more, less about proving people wrong. I hope he wants to prove this guy needs to have the killer instinct. He is trying to take Tom Brady's job. I want him to feel that way. I want him to have, as a competitor, I don't want him to root for the Patriots to lose or Brady to fail, but I want him to root for himself to be so elevated that at the end of the season, the Patriots legitimately have a difficult decision on their minds or on their hands. I want Garoppolo to be so driven, to be so motivated, to be so fueled that I want him to want to take Tom Brady's job. He gave the right answer. He gave the PC backup quarterback answer, and I'm happy that he did that publicly. But privately, I hope he doesn't really feel that way. Because if he does really feel that way, then that's not the guy who's going to be my quarterback moving forward. That's not the guy I would want to be my quarterback moving forward. Tom Brady doesn't allow Jimmy Garoppolo or any other backups reps in practice. Why? Because he doesn't want to have 1 second of action taken away from himself so that somebody else gets elevated. He has that motivation factor that he wants every rep and every chance, and he doesn't want to lose any ground to anybody. And it's that attitude that has made him the greatest of all time. I hope Jimmy Garoppolo has that, because deep down, he needs to be wanting to take Tom Brady's job. And yeah, last night, it should have meant something to him. It should have been motivation for him. And he should have been looking at it afterwards and saying, hey, I know right now I'm not going to have this job, but I hope that I'm proving myself enough that at the end of the year, the Patriots have a legitimate decision to make. And that's how I hope that Jimmy Garoppolo feels that way. Jason, what are your thoughts? Because I know you were hard on me last Friday for what I thought about Garoppolo's attitude. What do you think this Friday?
Well, I think in this particular argument, you're exactly right, because if he doesn't feel like that, there are plenty of other people that want to take his roster spot. If he's not
people
looking,
that want, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say people that want to take his roster spot, because if he's not trying to take Tom Brady's roster spot, he's not a competitor, and I don't want him anywhere near my team. That said, I have to think that privately he feels differently, and privately he's got to feel that whether he's with the Patriots next season, with a different team this season, or with a different team next season, he can be the guy.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Again, he said the right thing. I'll have you know, the first pitch here at Little Fenway, the celebrity game, hit out. So Arnie's already got something to live up to. The first pitch, deep to left field, over the high wall, over the green monster. So it will be. I am pumped to play tonight. We'll see what happens. But Jason, I do. I think you're right. I think Jimmy Garoppolo probably does feel that way. But, you know, it's one of those things that you can think but can't say. And I would appreciate it if he did. I would appreciate it if he said that in the way that I appreciated Josh Rosen, and I appreciate people saying their mind. Even if people disagree, people would be up in arms if Jimmy Garoppolo actually came out and said, no, I don't want to be a backup. I want to play, and I want his job, and I want it as fast as possible. People would say, that's wrong to say that, and it probably is. But I would appreciate that if he thought that, and I would appreciate it.
It's not wrong to say that. Not at all.
It's wrong in the confines of a team. Let me tell you this, and this is why. We talked about Kyrie Irving. We talk about what's going on with the Cavaliers. People up in arms that he is saying, or that people are, you know, he is saying through other people that he doesn't want to be there, that he's being a cancer to the team and a cancer to the organization. He's blowing it up from the inside. That's what Jimmy Garoppolo would do. That's what it would be perceived as if he came out flat out and said, look, I want this team in December or in January or February when the season's over to get rid of Tom Brady because I want to be the guy. Nobody's going
to say it that way. The way he has to say it is that I think I could be a starter. I want to be the starter. I should be the starter.
Well, he's already said to Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback, he's already said, I believe I'm a starter. I see myself as a starter. And my teammates think this is my last year as being a backup. So in a way, he has said that. But I want him to feel, I want him to be so acutely motivated going into every single game. I do want it to mean more. It's Champlain Valley Game Night here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. A little news on the Celtics. Part of the schedule came out yesterday, and the Celtics, we know, will open up the season against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they will play the Washington Wizards on Christmas Day. So the Celtics getting back on Christmas Day again this year. Last year, they played the Knicks in New York. What are my thoughts? Well, look, I'm frankly not into NBA mode right now, but as far as the Celtics go, don't we want to see how they measure up against the Cavaliers? That's what the measuring stick is for this team in Boston. They were the number one seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. They were a team that took a game from the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference in the playoffs, so it's incredibly vital that we see how they are against Cleveland. I wish it wasn't opening night, because I'd like to see these teams have a chance to gel and have a chance to mold themselves, especially if the Cavaliers get rid of Kyrie Irving down the line. They're not going to look on opening night in October like they would in January. I'd rather see them play the Cavaliers on Christmas. I think that would be a more appealing matchup, but of course, we have to see the Warriors play the Cavaliers on Christmas. As far as the Wizards on Christmas Day, it seems like there's a bit of a rivalry here budding between the Wizards and the Celtics. Isaiah Thomas, John Wall, two potential franchise cornerstones. Wall's already signed an extension. Isaiah Thomas is hoping to get an extension. You've got the Kelly Oubre, Kelly Olynyk thing from last year, and even though Olynyk's not in Boston, there's certainly still some bad blood between the two teams. The Wizards, the team that were eliminated by the Celtics in the playoffs. I think they'll both be good games. Ultimately, not much of an importance to me, though. The Celtics are going to play 82 games, and they're going to break down. You know, they're going to play these guys at some point, so it is nice to see the Celtics on Christmas Day back, you know, continuing to be in the national spotlight. All right, let's get you those Red Sox and Yankee lineups from Fenway Park, or from Yankee Stadium, rather, away from Fenway Park. Eduardo Rodriguez leads the Sox 65-49, 4.5 games up on the Yankees. In the American League East, the Yankees are 60-53. For Rodriguez, he turned in his best outing since returning from a right knee injury his last time out. 6 innings, 2 runs, 4 hits against Kansas City. He's got a 3.31 ERA against the Yankees this in his career last year, has not faced them this year. So, lineup for the Sox, Eduardo Nunez is at second, leading off, 324, 8 homers, 43 RBIs, 21 steals. Most of that accumulated with the Giants. Mookie Betts hits second today as the Red Sox continue to flip around the lineup. He's 269, 18, 70, and 17. Andrew Benintendi in left against the lefty, 276, 13 homers. Hanley Ramirez is the DH. He's at first, or Hanley Ramirez is hitting fourth. He's at first, hitting 250. Chris Young is the DH. He hits fifth, 251. Always has hit lefties well. Xander Bogaerts is at short. Rafael Devers is at third. Christian Vasquez is the catcher. And Jackie Bradley Jr. is in center. The outstanding defensive center fielder for the Red Sox hits ninth, 258, 13 homers, and 44 RBIs. For the Yankees, Tommy Garcia getting his second start as a member of the Yankees. Garcia took the loss in his debut in Cleveland, allowing 5 earned over 4 2/3. Aaron Hicks is back from the DL, hitting 283, 10 homers, 37 RBI, 7 steals. Gary Sanchez is the DH. He hits second. Aaron Judge cooling off tremendously, 294 average, 35 homers, 78 ribbies. He hits third and is in right. Didi Gregorius, 311, 18 homers, 55 RBIs. He is the shortstop. Todd Frazier's at third, hitting fifth. Garrett Cooper is at first, hitting sixth. Jacoby Ellsbury hits seventh. Ronald Torres hits eighth. And Austin Romine is the catcher, 221, 2 homers, and 20 RBIs. No stolen bases. Big series, 3-game set from the Bronx. Sox and Yankees, the rivalry renewed. Thanks to everybody for listening all week. And thanks to everybody for joining us here today at the Travis Roy Foundation Wiffle Ball Tournament here at Little Fenway in Jericho. Absolute blast. Picture-perfect sight lines. Mountains are here. The celebrities are here. Teams from Alabama are here. Teams from Kansas City are here. This is a national thing. It's a lot of fun. We're looking forward to seeing you this weekend. We play at 7 o'clock. Hey, Sports Saturday, Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki tomorrow. They've got another great guest list coming up. We'll see you on Monday, everybody, 101.3 ESPN.